Welcome, Blind Spot Insider. Thank you for submitting questions for this episode. Here are the responses to your questions. So, James, first question we have is someone who works at a not-for-profit with not a lot of extra room in the budget for information security. Any suggestions on how to build a stronger program at a lower cost?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, known as CISA or CISA, depending on how you look at it, has a ton of free tools for organizations across the country, business, nonprofits, you name it. FBI has something similar as well. And Google and Microsoft all have free security tools for nonprofits.
Oh, wonderful.
So reach out to any one of them. They'll be able to give you a whole slew of things to do at a really, really low to no cost.
Terrific. So you have to have kind of a 501(c) or you have to have a .org. How do they make that determination?
Yeah, you know, I don't really know. I've never kind of done it on the nonprofit side. I've always done it on the commercial side. So I would probably have to kind of, I'd reach out every, so CISA has, is divided into regions, and they've got anywhere between 2 to 6 agents per region, and their phone number is readily available. You just go to dhs.cisa.gov and you can pull up your region, and it'll have the people's names and phone numbers and email addresses. You can just shoot them a message and they'll let you know exactly what they can do for you, including audits. They'll do free audits for you.
No kidding. That's awesome.
Yep.
Great. Thank you. Okay, our second question is, I work at a bank and make loans to many different types of companies. We've talked about adding a section to our underwriting packages about information security. What's the best way for me to conduct due diligence about a borrower's information security program?
So that's a more complex answer. So I'll start off by saying the following. One, is underwriting willing to add and give weight to information security as part of the loan process? If so, then what's that risk that they're willing to, what's the risk score they're willing to attribute to information security? Meaning, are they concerned that in the event of a ransomware attack, this company could go under? Because statistics, you know, don't really, depending on the size of the business, right? Big companies don't go under because of a ransomware attack. Smaller companies do. That's just the simple fact. Smaller companies don't recover. The reason they don't recover is because they typically don't back up their data. They don't have the resiliency. So they lose customers, they lose data, you lose availability, and your customers leave you and there's nothing to come back to. So understand that. Now, there's a whole bunch of tools that help you measure someone's information security program. There's the common way that you see a lot, which is questionnaires, which is wonderful. You want to have those, but you want to have an effective questionnaire, not just any questionnaire. I pride myself on the fact that I think I built one of the most sophisticated questionnaires in the industry because I look at a questionnaire and I ask several questions, several different ways to see if the answers align or not on stuff that's important for me as a CISO and the risk I assess these vendors can introduce to my organization. There's also third-party tools out there like Panarays and OneTrust and many others that you can put in a company's name and URL, and it gives you a risk score of that company. So you can establish a policy of what that risk score would look like. And then you could give the company a chance to essentially mitigate the risks by showing you proof that they've done so, whether it be by policy or by program, to help you kind of gain confidence in terms of the due diligence on a borrower's information security program. So I would do it two ways. One is a questionnaire. The other one's a third-party tool, looking at that company. And then, you know, I would even add it that in the contract, you know, that in the event you do go through a cyber event or anything like that, that, you know, the bank has some legal repercussions, especially if it's negligence or criminal in nature.
Well, so put that both in the contingent precedent and in ongoing reps and warranties.
You know, and that kind of goes to the cyber insurance industry, right? So we're starting to see a shift in cyber insurance where now they're willing to underwrite you. But if your risk midway through your coverage dips, and becomes overly risky, your premiums increase or they can drop your coverage.
So it's like a good driver program.
Very similar, but that's simply because a lot of companies and also a lot of cyber insurance companies were paying out ransomware attacks, like, you know, medical payouts in car crashes, right? You've got 732 million lawyers across the world that try to get you to sue an insurance company and another driver for a simple bump in your bumper. And that's why insurance rates are through the moon, because these insurance companies are settling those, you know, in the hundreds a day, paying people $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. The same applies. And the same mistake was done by insurance companies in cyber. They paid out $5 million, $10 million, $20 million on ransomware attacks without really thinking of the fact that, you know, your premium's 10 grand or 20 grand. Math doesn't add up.
Yeah. You can't discount something and give it away, because you always have a cost to it and that will exceed.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And our third question is, what advice would you give to someone starting out in information security? The person works in an IT area of a medium-sized company doing programming, and he's interested in shifting his focus.
Yeah. So again, I think that's a wonderful question. And here's what I would tell kind of your blind spot insider here is, what discipline of security do you want to be in? Do you want to be IT security, or do you want to be application security? Do you want to be an architect? Do you want to be in compliance and governance? You know, do you want to be in policy? Do you want to be in GRC, security operations, security engineering? Cyber is in everything. And because of that, there's a whole slew of different skills and roles we need. It's very common for people in IT to go, all right, I want to go do IT security, because it's really just adding security to the end of IT. But that's a small, small percentage of what is cyber is all about. Cyber is about identifying threats. It's about identifying risks. It's about mitigating those. And IT becomes kind of an operational part of cyber, mm-hmm. but it's not really the shift. So what I would tell, you know, this specific listener is, if you're shifting your focus, understand what the different disciplines of cyber are. If you're working for a company now, see if they've got a security program. Go intern, go spend a day kind of looking at the different people within your organization. Go spend a day with a security engineer. Go spend a day with, you know, a GRC person. Go spend a day with an auditor. See which one of those really sparks your interest, and then follow that path.
Hope this was insightful. If you have a friend or associate that would benefit from hearing these responses, please have them sign up to become a Blind Spot Insider. We appreciate you being on this journey with us to create more I've Got This victories.